like what you waiting on. Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday after kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Coach with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts solid. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
Listen, I'm telling you, you heard that. Tony Sands and BBS Radio, we back bringing it another week. Listen, we kicking off the season. We like the NFL. We like the college sports. We kicking off the season this year. When the season kicks off, as it does tonight, college football, the NFL will be kicking off next week. They ended the preseason this past week. But guess what? The Tony Sands Show is kicking off on the same night the University of Kansas played, Colorado played. Listen. We're kicking off with the big dogs. We're kicking off with the big dogs. But just as we're getting ready to come on the air, listen, breaking news out of San Francisco. As a matter of fact, can we play that clip with Brandon Ayoub leaving, walking out of the 49ers camp, and then we're going to do breaking news from Adam Shetler breaking news. Can we play that, Thomas? Play that, please. Brandon decided, guess what? I done had enough. I'm walking out of this thing. Y'all don't want to give me my money. I'm watching the Dallas Cowboys get CeeDee Lamb his money. I'm watching all the other receivers get their money. Y'all got to give me my money. I got to get paid. Well, guess what? Breaking news. Adam Shetler breaks news on ESPN that Brandon just signed a four-year extension of $120 million. $120 million. He joins that $30 million a year club. Tyreek Hill, he's in the range of Tyreek Hill money. He said, guess what? Last year I put up, listen, 75 catches, 1,342 yards. I deserve to get paid. I deserve to get paid like that top 6th percentile in the NFL. Give me my money. Do not act funny. Give me all of my money. And I guess once he walked out of camp, that let them know, the 49ers know that he was willing to guess what? Sit out. Because now we're talking about this just happened the other day. So it's so close to the regular season. We can't continue to play around here with these quarterbacks. As you see, Jerry Jones found that to be a tough road to tread because these young boys are saying to themselves, listen, we walk out, we'll hold out, we won't even show up. We ain't taking no discounts. We want all our money. And you know the families are on their butt. Listen, they know they got a lot of miles to feed. So I'm telling you, breaking news, he's just signed a heck of a deal. $30 million. And you know what? And it's so crazy because I look at youth league football. And I'm telling parents, and I speak to parents all the time, running back position has become what we consider a dinosaur position. You know, but a lot of people want their children to be playing the running back position at the youth league, I guess, because they get the ball in their hands and everybody's rooting about it. But guess what? It's not developing that child for what he could possibly be playing. Receivers are making money outside of quarterbacks. Receivers are one of the highest paid. Some of you parents that know your kid could possibly catch and line up in the slot, line up out wide, don't worry about if he's not touching the ball. Now, get him developed. So if you want him to possibly one day be making about $100 million a year? Develop, tell, go to your little league coach today and say, guess what? Listen, man, put my son at the running back position. Do not put him at the running back. Put him at the receiver. Let him make the money that I know he can make, because guess what? That's how we're going to build this thing for later on. That's what I'm saying to you. You're playing youth league sports. Come on, man. Line up in the position that's going to pay the money. You look at CeeDee Lamb contract. You're talking about $30 million. Understand, back in the day, we're going to have on the show the playmaker Michael Irvin will be on the show as we talk about the state of the Cowboys. Well, I know a lot of people are waiting to see how that's going to play up. We're talking the state of the Dallas Cowboys. Ooh. What's going on? Are we tanking or are we not? Are we moving forward? Are we progressing? And what is stopping us from progressing? What is stopping us from progressing? Because I'm telling you, it's going to be, Michael's going to dig into this. We're going to talk CeeDee Lamb. We're going to also talk Miami Dolphins and Tua's situation. Tua got his money. But in the process of him getting his money, he says some things about Brian Flores and what was going on and why he was not progressing up under Brian Flores. I can't see. And as a matter of fact, let's go ahead. Thomas, let's go ahead and play that soundbite of Tua speaking on how he was treated by Brian Flores when Brian Flores was with the Dolphins. That's probably why Tua did not progress as much as he should have. Can you play that?
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, you have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening.
As you can see, that was Stephen A. Smith spoke about that. They talk about how this man woke up every day. If he would see his head coach, because a head coach can, I'm going to tell you, in that business, a head coach can make or break you. You understand me? Especially at that quarterback position, because they're such a tender position. You got to cuddle quarterbacks. In order to get the best out of a quarterback, you got to cuddle. And they want to be cuddled. So when you wake up and your head coach tell you, you don't belong here. And I'm quite sure he probably saying, okay, what do you mean I don't belong here? Are you saying I don't belong with the Miami Dolphins, or that I don't belong at this level of play? At this level of play when it comes to football. I played at Alabama, had success at Alabama, and now you're telling me I don't belong in the NFL? That, and then you're pretty much telling the man that he's trash. That's pretty much what that was saying, was that this young man was trash. And that's tough, man. That type of environment. But now you've gotten your money. Tua gotten his money. And he stayed there. Brian Flores was out. And Brian Flores right now is in the process of trying to sue the NFL. And we'll see how that plays out. Does this hurt? Now, does this hurt Brian Flores' position with the NFL? Because now the Dolphins say, this is the reason we got rid of him. We got rid of him because he was badgering our players. He was badgering one of our future quarterbacks, because he is the future of the Miami Dolphins. And it's going to be interesting to see how this season plays out for the Miami Dolphins. Now he's under better tutelage, better coddling, better learning, a better learning curve. Thomas, can you do me a favor? Play that soundbite again. Play that one again, because I want people to listen to and see the passion in Tua's face when he's talking about how he was being treated. Play that one again.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, you have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening.
And that was, like I said, and that was played, that was to an interview with Dan on the Dan Levitard show. Stephen A. Smith brought it to their show. And we're bringing it to the Tony Sands show. Now, I'm telling you, and he said things that you probably shouldn't be. I don't know too many coaches that really, you know, coaches been tough. And when I came up in the era, coaches were tough. It was a, you know, you had to be thick-skinned. I don't know if these kids nowadays are truly thick-skinned enough to handle this type of being spoken to. We were spoken and been, all right, cool. I'm going to just prove you wrong, coach. That's the way we look at it. But this generation here is not going to look at that and say, no, you can't talk to us like that. First of all, the money that they're making, they're making this money now at the high school level. We have high school guys that's trying to eat ink $2.5 million deals with schools. So with him saying, this is what he woke up to every morning, coming, walking into the Dolphins facility, could have had an effect on his play because it had an effect on his psyche. It had an effect on his mental health. Now, some are saying that this can be a double-edged sword for Tua. And what I mean by a double-edged sword for Tua is that, Tua, okay, you've gotten your money. Now you've spoken out. Not too many players tend to speak out a lot like this. They won't do it. But now they're speaking out about their how they're being treated by teams and how they're being treated by coaches. Okay, so now Tua just put a bullseye on his chest that if you do not play well this season, if you do not play well this season, can you blame that on Brian Flores? Can you blame that and say, at this level, you're a professional. At this level in the game, you're a professional. You played at Alabama. I'm quite sure Nick Saban has said some brutal things, probably not to you, but to other players, some brutal things. And you played up on one of the toughest college coaches there is. You played, you know, you don't get no tougher and rougher than Nick Saban. I'm quite sure he was tough on you from when you came from Hawaii till you got here. Did that prepare you for the NFL level? Because this is a business. So they don't care about your feelings. Can you get the job done or can't you get the job done? Is going to be the key that everybody's talking about when you're talking about how one affected me to where it affected my play on the field. Listen, prove him wrong. That every morning that you got up that he said you couldn't, you needed to say, I can. And I'm going to block out the negative. And I understand, you know, someone say, well, his head coach mentally abused him. They're going to say he was mentally abused, and that's probably why he had the type of play that he had. But it still goes back to this. You got to, at this level, you're a professional. Either you're going to play at a certain level of play or you're not. You got to be able to play at a certain level, period. This is your job. This is what you do. At that time, you're not in college where you was getting paid. But I'm quite sure he was at Alabama. The NILs was being done at Alabama before NILs were being done. We're not going to get into that. We can't get into it because guess what? Right now, they're getting that money. These players are getting that bag. And two of those bad people are playing tonight. Colorado opens up tonight against North Dakota State. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in Boulder, Colorado tonight? Primetime Deion Sanders is live in living color. And listen, because Deion been taking some slack. He's been taking some slack for a minute. He's been taking some good slack for a minute because of the simple fact certain coaches cannot ask Deion questions in their interview. Now, they can be around, but they cannot ask questions. And that's tough because I'm saying, that shouldn't be allowed. Deion Sanders should he's a man. He's a man enough to where he shouldn't be. He should be able to say, hey, listen, whatever you're talking about, we don't care. But I'm going to tell you something about this Deion Sanders situation that we're talking about, to where I'm going to link this situation as we go. Once Michael Irvin come in, we're going to ask him what he think about it. Do we see I don't want to call it a tank. I don't want to call it. I don't want to say that my team is possibly tanking to go and grab Shedeur Sanders in next year's draft. And you know how that play. You gotta. We didn't make no moves, guys. We stayed silent on moves, and we just signed CD. CD wasn't in camp, and we're going to hopefully that doesn't affect us 3, 4, 5 games into the season because he was not in camp. See, there's a difference. You can train people because I train people. You can train people all day. But it's a difference when you're in training camp. When you're in training camp. So we're going to dive into that stuff there with the playmaker Michael Irvin as he joined the show. We're going to ask Mike. I'm going to be up front. Can it? There's questions that you need me to ask the playmaker. You can ask it or you can call the show. And the number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You can call the show and you can speak with the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin. But I'm going to tell you, listen, as I say, we didn't make no moves. And I'm wondering, does Jerry have a plan? Does Jerry really have a plan here? Because if we listen to people, as a matter of fact, Thomas, do me a favor. We'll play it back when the playmaker himself come on. Let's go back and play me that conspiracy, what they're thinking, and with Stephen A. Smith saying about Jerry Jones.
5-13 playoff record, fifth worst in the NFL, no Super Bowls, no conference titles, and since 1996, they've been one and done in the postseason 8 times. The only franchise that has been worse is the Indianapolis Colts. That is not greatness. Deion Sanders, who is great, the greatest cornerback that ever lived, one of the greatest football players that ever lived, one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in history, okay, knows a thing or two about greatness. Jerry Jones, over the last 28 years, has not been great. That is just a fact, and I'll leave it at that.
And listen, there's some strong words coming out of Stephen A. Smith. He said, and guys, listen, I'm a Cowboy fan, and to be upfront honest, what Stephen Smith said was correct on our team, about our team. I'm not going to say it's, you know, correct about our own. Our owner is our GM. Do we got to separate those two titles to move and progress forward with the Dallas Cowboys? As a matter of fact, a lot of people have been speaking out about the Dallas Cowboys. Even Jimmy Johnson gave his comments on just how we are seeing and what we are seeing with the Dallas Cowboys. It's just, are we moving in a direction that looks like progression? Or are we tanking for next year's future quarterback? Because we are not, we have said we're not paying. And there's some words that's starting to move between the quarterback and the general manager slash owner of the team. There's some words going back and forth with it. And Mike, we're going to ask Mike. We're not going to hold back. We're going to get deep into those comments when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Because we got a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans on watching and listening in. So we want to make sure that we are getting just what we're saying we're getting to everybody. Earlier, before CD signed his deal, it was a back and forth thing. CD wasn't even in Dallas. CD trained here in South Florida with a good friend of mine, Dr. Reed. He stayed here. He stayed away. Him and his homeboys came and stayed in South Florida, and they trained in this location to get him away from the Dallas Cowboys, get him away from possibly being able to do what we call a cowboy discount. Because Jerry will ask for some cowboy discounts. And I understand why. I understand why, because of the simple fact is that it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. We got Michael coming up. Michael. Just coming up, deals coming up. And with now Dak is in that, everybody understand, Dak is in a $60 million range when it comes to the Cowboys. A $60 million range. That's going to be tough. How does that look for the future of the Dallas Cowboys moving forward if we're ever trying to get a Super Bowl? if we're trying to move forward. That's a lot of people. You got Dak, Michael Parsons. And then what unfortunately has happened, Trayvon Diggs' deal will probably be a little bit on hold because they're trying to see how he looks coming back. Trayvon Diggs is not 100% healthy. And then with him not being 100% healthy, we lose Bland, who just put on IR. We lose him. This puts a lot of pressure on my guy, Al Harris, to get the next set of DBs ready, because coming in, Trayvon Diggs is not ready to hit the field week one and be wide ready to go for what's going to be coming at him on week one. He's not ready for week one. I'm just looking at, you know, knowing guys that have had the injuries and watching him train and seeing some of the things, he does not look healthy for week one. So that's why I'm saying to you, what I'm saying is that Al Harris has got another task on his hands to try to find the next Trayvon Diggs, the next Bland. It's don't get no tougher. Then we wind up signing. We signed Delvin Cook. I mean, I'm still trying to, you know, wrap my mind around it, because guess what? To me, we signed Zeke Elliott. These are old legs that we're bringing in. We just tried, you know, we just signed a young guy, and that's why I go back to say the running back position is a dinosaur position. You can bring the old guys in and do just enough, as long as you got the guys on the outside and the guy on the center that could lead you. That's what I'm saying. This is why I'm saying, but like I said, we get back to the college football season, Colorado and North Dakota State. Everybody's looking to see how Colorado is going to progress. Are they going to progress? Because they progressed at a high level. And I think everybody had put Colorado at a high level. And then all of a sudden, you know, they filtered out toward the end of the year. Is that a reflection there? And everybody's saying Deion is, you know, a lot of his team left. When you building a team, and I was up under a coach like that, you go in there with the intent that if these guys are not doing it the way you want it done, then you run them off. And it's sad, because we see several coaches have done it. I'm quite sure Nick Saban has done it. I'm quite sure every coach that has played the game that has been tough coaches, I guarantee you, they've ran guys off. They've ran them off. We look at, and as you can see, Brian Flores is trying to run Tua off. But I guess being that that's your first round draft pick, he didn't want to. We know ownership wanted to. Ownership wanted to. Brian Flores did not want to. And when you, it almost goes back to Bill Parcells saying, if I'm going to cook, I want to be able to shop for the groceries. You understand what I'm saying? I want to be able to shop for the groceries if I'm going to cook. I can't just cook groceries that I'm not prepared, that I didn't go and buy. And that was the situation with Brian Flores. For those that are just joining the show and saying, so we were talking about the situation with Tua and Brian Flores and how Brian Flores was treating Tua. And he didn't treat him fair so well. And he said some harsh things to him that he didn't belong there. I don't know if he was saying that he didn't belong in with the Dolphins, or he just didn't belong in the NFL. You understand, Tua comes from Alabama, a prestigious program that you know, produced top-notch guys, but their quarterbacks just haven't hit like everybody would have expected. You know, receivers are hitting, but the quarterback's position just is not hitting as much and many people would have thought it would. And that's why I'm saying to you, you know, have we seen what we need to see out of Tua to say that he can lead the Miami Dolphins? The question is still out on him. He had a great season enough to get his money, but the money situation with the Miami Dolphins is with the quarterback position. They were four. I think it was in the same situation that the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't think they really wanted to give Tua the money, but being that that's where you're slotted now. Quarterbacks, like I say, Dak Prescott is looking to eclipse $60 million. I don't know, and that's what we're going to find out later from Michael Irvin. Is Dak Prescott worth $60 million? Is he worth $60 million? And my sister says on and she makes a comment on Facebook because she's following us on Facebook. We are a diehard Cowboys fan base of family members. But for this year, I'm pulling for them if they move through the playoffs. See, that's been a problem. That's been a problem, Robert. It's been tough for us to move through the playoffs. If you want to call in and talk on the show, like I said, Michael Irvin will be joining the show as he's, you know, his busy day as he's getting ready to travel. The show number is 627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. He's going to join the show. We're going to head to a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back talking more football as we kick off the Tony Sands Show for the first week and college football.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. As you see, that's my supplement line that a lot of people are taking. Listen. We are diehard, and we diehard. You understand what I'm saying to me? Each and every year, I get made a mockery of, and I'm tired of being made a mockery of. I get made a mockery of on social media. My wife just put me up and make a mockery of me because I get so frustrated when we're not winning as the Dallas Cowboys. It just drives me crazy. It drives me nuts. But we're going back talking. Like I said, tonight kicks off college football. North Dakota State and Colorado, Deion Sanders, and everybody's now saying, okay, you had 1 year, you had an up year, and you had a down year. Everybody's saying, okay, this year see what Deion Sanders is made of. Deion Sanders joins the Big 12. But the Big 12 is because the Pac-12 shut down. Some teams went to the Big 10, some teams went to the Big 12. Now, listen. College football is all over the place, and it's, you know, with the NIL, has been a lot of pressure been put on college football. A lot of pressure been put on college football for the simple fact is that there's money out. These guys, there's money out there for these guys, and these guys are making serious money. When I say serious money, they're making serious money in the business. You understand? So it's going to show tonight, Deion's got to, and I'm guaranteeing a lot of people are going to want Deion to win big. I know my team's Kansas plays tonight on ESPN Plus. We should just destroy Lindenwood, the team that we're playing. They're Division III. We opened up against the Division III. I'm getting juked at about that. But like I said, that's going to be a serious, serious situation in Boulder, Colorado, because Colorado got a schedule. They go back to Nebraska. Nebraska's going to want revenge on Colorado. Then they got Colorado State. We know how that played out last year with Colorado State, with the coach and Deion, and really it made Deion a lot of money. In a few minutes, like I said, the playmaker Michael Irvin will be joining the show. And like I said, as a matter of fact, listen, let's not wait. Let's jump into it. Playmaker, what's going on, my brother? Thomas, we got him up. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, what's up, T? How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing well. We're here, you know, talking college football kickoff, and why college football kickoff. My show kicks off for the first week. But, Mike, listen, man, I know you're traveling and you're busy, and I know you've been asked a lot of questions on how things are playing in Big D, how things are looking and with the Dallas Cowboys. Let's jump right into it because I know you're busy and you're traveling. So let's listen. My fan base want to know, man, what's the state of the Dallas Cowboys? in your opinion?
Well, there's so much that's in that whole conference right there when you talk about what's the state of the Cowboys. When you think about what the Dallas Cowboys have done, the last 3 years they won at least 12 games. No other team has won as many games as they have, but the Kansas City Chiefs. But they've come up short in those big moments. And what I hate, Tony, that I see goes going on right now is all everybody's talking about is money. Money. When I saw Travis Kelce, the first thing he was talking about was three-peating. The hardest thing to do is, Tony, you know this, to spend your whole summer with your mind somewhere else. And then week one said, okay, now it's time to tune in, turn in, and win some football games. So, I hope now that CD's in camp, we can start hopefully talking about football and them moving towards what does it take to win and not just talking about money.
And Mike, as you spoke about the money, CD spent his summer here in South Florida training with a good friend of mine, Dr. Reeve. He spent this summer down here. Now you signed, okay? You didn't go to training camp. And we understand people don't, if you haven't played a game, you just don't pop up after you sign and you're ready to play football. You might be in performance shape, but football shape is another thing. Do you see this as possibly 2 to 3 game process that CeeDee Lamb get back at full go?
Tony, you're showing you're an old goat. See, that's old goat stuff. But that's really, I'm talking about that's older stuff too. That with us, the game was so physical.
Yes,
the game was so physical then. So yeah, it took you a couple weeks to get into football shape. Everybody was hitting. There was banging. Now this game has changed, man. There is no more. It's 7-on-7 in some sense. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't have all the contact. And CeeDee Lamb plays in the slot where he won't get touched as much. So yeah, I think he can get back into football shape a lot quicker than it used to be when you had to get back into football shape. Think about this. Nobody does any hitting at camp. So the first game now really becomes the first hitting anybody does. You know, we used to do hitting in camp. So by that, we used 30, to play
listen,
in those
30 days. Games. It was 30 days of hitting. These guys, if they hit one day, they can't be past the neck every day.
Right. It's regulated. Yeah. See, it's regulated in the office. But when you were on the football field, it was regulated by the coach. And the coach was like, we look soft. Let's get the hitting around, you know. So that they're trying to do better to hold on and preserve the body, which I understand. And we should go back to something else, Tony. Let me tell you, every dime those guys are fighting for, they burn. And I love seeing the numbers. Brandon Ayuk just signed for $30 million a year. CD, of course, 34. I love seeing the numbers go where they go. But now once we get the money, let's start trying to talk about getting some championships. And I'm just saying, to turn that focused is not easy to do. Now, I sat out to the Wednesday before. I think it was 92 season or something like that. And we went on and won Super Bowl. I had 5 grabs for 90 yards in that game. You know, but yeah, I think CD acclimated real quick.
And as you say, CD acclimated real quick. He was happy. Once the deal got done, his agent told him he was in South Florida when he got the call. And Mike, so many people are saying, because we didn't make no offseason moves. CD, technically, to me, this year, CD move to sign CD is the biggest splash that the Dallas Cowboys have had this year. We didn't make no moves.
Some people
are saying, and I've never wanted to associate this word with the Dallas Cowboys, are the Cowboys tanking to try to possibly go and get Shedeur Sanders next year?
I like all of that glitter and all of that sparkly stuff, but I don't know that it's true gold. That's a hell of a turn to try to say the Cowboys are going to tank to go get Shedeur.
Listen, and that's what I said.
Yeah, but if any kind of way that could possibly happen, and as the people start bringing that in, will it take Lucas to do Sanders? And if that tank goes, do you bring a whole air? Because if you're tanking, that means Dak's gone and Coach McCarthy's gone. So are you bringing in a whole package? Is that Stewart and Deion?
A lot of people are saying that now. If Shador comes, does that comes with the reunion of Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders?
Right. That's going to be the father.
Yeah.
That's going to be the father.
You know, and
that's going to be the father. Yeah, I like it.
That's it'll bring a reunion. Stephen A. Smith spoke out earlier, Mike, this week, just on this Jerry Jones situation. Can you play, Thomas, play that conspiracy soundbite that we had put up, that Stephen A. Smith, where he was speaking on Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
Is what?
He was speaking about the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones.
5-13 playoff record, fifth worst in the NFL, no Super Bowls, no conference titles. And since 1996, they've been one and done in the postseason 8 times. The only franchise that has been worse is the Indianapolis Colts. That is not greatness. Deion Sanders, who is great, the greatest cornerback that ever lived, one of the greatest football players that ever lived, one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in history, okay, knows a thing or two about greatness. Jerry Jones, over the last 28 years, has not been great. That is just a fact, and I'll leave it at that.
Stephen A. Smith, and see, when I listen to that, I say, he got on, is he missing the point on everything that's taking place with Jerry Jones? Because we do got to sign Michael. We got to sign Michael Parsons. His deal is going to be coming up.
Tony, I'm walking by. Did you volleyball team, man? Isn't that crazy, man?
Listen, I seen him. It was so crazy because I seen him 1 year in the airport.
I've been watching these guys at the airport. Hey,
yes.
Much love, fam. Much love, guys. God bless you guys. Hey, yeah, that's cool, man.
Because listen, and speaking on the University of Miami got Florida this weekend, kicking off the game with Florida this weekend.
Right, I know. Yeah, listen. I know. Dude, that was cool, man. That was cool. Even seeing people like that in the airport.
Yes.
Just for everybody to know, you know, I do not fly private. I'm so scared of airplanes all the way around. You know, so I have to sneak through airports. I will not get on one of them small planes. But I am looking forward, Tony, to this whole college football season. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Speaking of Miami, that game they got against Florida. I got so many people coming to my restaurant, right? Like the University of Florida, you know, those fan groups, they're coming over. Yes. They're calling, wanting to know, are you going to be at the restaurant? Okay, we want a table for 50, 60 people. So, you know, they want to be in my face.
Listen, they want to be in your face.
I don't think it's going down like that. So I'm telling you, Miami. When I told you my last time I was with Miami, they look good. And the best part, you know how I measured this? Let me tell you how I measured. When I looked at what they look like, remember that year when we went up Tampa and they opened up against Alabama?
Yes.
I remember we were on the sidelines. I said, look at this. I said, look at them linemen and look at our linemen.
Yeah.
It looked like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Totally.
When they beat this line, oh, my God. It was scary.
Yes.
It was scary. You know what I mean? So now it's totally different.
Mike, now you guys, like I said, the University of Miami has gotten a quarterback because we've been saying that they haven't gotten a quarterback, and that's been what's been holding the University of Miami back from progressing. Okay, now they go to Florida. The last game I had was attended, you know, some years ago when you guys opened up against against Florida, when Emmitt Smith was a freshman down in the Orange Bowl. And you guys were able to handle. But now they go up to Gainesville. That's a hostile environment to go in to, when you're talking about that first game, to go into Gainesville and upset the University of Florida. That's going to be a tough task I think, for Miami? And they got to stay focused. What are some of the keys that you think Miami would have to do to going into Gainesville and be ready to face not only the team, but the crowd and the atmosphere that is displayed in Gainesville?
Yeah, T, let me tell you the difference here in all of that, man, and what the difference between good and great. Mm-hmm. You started the question. Can you hear me, Tony?
Yep, I hear you.
Yeah, you started the question talking about the quarterback position.
Yes.
It's not just the ability the quarterback has to throw the football. It's the ability the quarterback has to lead a team. And everybody's talking about what Miami did to get Cam Ward. It was absolutely unnecessary. I'm with Coach one time. You know, I went to dinner with Cam and Bain, and I love what they got on their defense with Bain.
Offensive line.
And this kid is different. This kid, Cam Ward, is different. We were out to dinner, you know, and then I get back up talking to Coach. He tells me about them, the team out throwing, and one of the receivers, instead of being in Miami throwing with them, he was posting bragging about being in Fort Lauderdale throwing with Lamar Jackson and all of that. He said, Cam called him and said, "Hey, bro, Lamar ain't going to be throwing you nail pass this season.
Nail pass.
You'll get your butt down here. I ain't going to be throwing you nail pass this season either." You see what I mean? So quarterbacking is not just about the arm strength. It's really about the leadership and making dudes do what they're supposed to do, even when they're not doing it.
Correct. And like you said, we're speaking about the quarterback position. That's going to be key to me to success of the Miami Hurricanes and how they play out. We're seeing it play out. Like I tell people all the time, if you had a quarterback, if you got a good quarterback, and you got some guys on the outside, you can do some things in this day and age because the game is played like a 7-on-7 game. But, Mike, we also talk about quarterbacks, and we got to go back to our team.
You're going
to
need that offensive line. You're going to need that offensive line. You're going to need that offensive line. Now, back to that Stephen A. talking about what greatness
is.
The greatness is not absolutely measured in championships.
Correct.
Absolutely measured in championships. And to not have a championship the last 30 years, not even in that game, that is a tag. But listen, but this is the bottom line, guys. Jerry Jones, honestly, and I'm not defending anybody, but stating reality, has put teams on the football field, and they've been in position to win games and make plays. Dallas and San Francisco the last few years, Dallas losing San Francisco, I don't know what Jerry Jones could have done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody always want to point to Jerry Jones. Jerry, you got to make the plays at that moment. A play has an opportunity to be made. The difference,
right.
It's a slim difference between good and great. And they've had their opportunities, and they haven't made the plays on the field.
Right.
Jerry has still put teams together that has gotten there, but the players – right there, having made that play, I'm okay if you want to get on Jerry. I'm okay, but I still have to sit back and say Jerry did lose against San Francisco and he did lose against Green Bay last year. The players did.
Yes, the players, and that's what I tell people. This is a regardless of what you put. This it boils down to me against you on the football field, and players got to play. Coaches, coach, everybody has their role in this thing when you come talking about a team sport. That's what I love about the game of football. But, Mike, we also got to look at even in our situation with the Dallas Cowboys, we got a quarterback that we're looking to see, you know, if we're going to sign Dak Prescott because Dak, you know, came out with a comment today stating that he's not even listening to anything else that Jerry Jones says to the media. And if you take it, certain people could take that a couple ways as if he's shooting shots at the owner, or he could just say, "Listen, man, I'm going to play the game. I'm going to play, and then I'll let pay takes care of the pay." Do you see that playing out in Dallas with Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott stay beyond this year Or do they, you know, as everybody's saying, everybody's looking to see Shadur.
Yeah. People all over Dak in this thing, and they're making it a noise about Dak Prescott said this. Dak Prescott said that. Dak didn't say anything. Dak is just saying he's at a place where he has to focus on football right now.
Yes.
He has to focus on football. He can't be listening to anybody, listening to anything. And it's what I started this conversation off with. He understands, man, I got to turn my attention to thinking about football and figuring out football. That's all people want to talk about.
Yes.
That's all they want to talk about is the money situation, this situation. It's the strife that keeps clicks coming towards those people. The click. Cowboy have such a big fan base. But ultimately, you got to turn your focus to championships. Here again, what we talked about in those games, this game is different, Tori. We talk about it all the time, you and me.
Yes.
You can't just improve your skill and think you're going to do great things. You got to also deepen your will since you're going against another grown man. Most of the world punch a computer. And if they improve their skill, they got something. But we're different. We have to prove our skill while deepening your will. And the Cowboys have to work together to deepen their will to get over the hump of the Green Bay Packers or those San Francisco 49ers. That's why they haven't won in 30 years.
And that's going to be a situation to where now, like you said, Dak saying, hey, listen, the money situation to take care of itself. I got my receiver in camp. He's ready to go. CD's ready. CD was ecstatic. He was, you know, you can see in his eyes, like, hey, I'm ready. This is where I've been ready to go. CD said at one point they had him nervous. He was about to just cave in and say, hey, listen, man, let's get this thing out the way. He told his agent, hey, man, let's sign this deal, man. Let's get this thing done so he can get with his guys, man. That's what I got. And that's what I like about the game of football. It is a team game. It is truly a team game. Everybody understands their role in this. Mike, how do you see in the NFC? Let's go to the NFC. How do you see the NFC East playing out?
I love that he said that too, because when you're sitting out like that, no contact like that, the fan base starts losing hope. Like, wow, what's going on? Do you really want to be here? You know, I'm glad CD came out and said that. I wanted to hear the struggles it was for him to be away from his team. It gives me some hope. I love what Tyreek Hill said, too. And I hope the Miami fan base caught it. I thought that was so deep and so great when he said, I talked to my agent. I told my agent he has to do his business. Do your business. But do not get me traded from here. I love this team.
Wow. Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You remember he said that, dog?
Yes, I remember he said
that. That was deep, man. Right, man. That's deep, man. You were like, okay, now we good. We don't lose our best player. That put the pressure on the owners and all them. Yeah, get him in the money. Stop playing. We'll lose our best player. He ain't trying to go nowhere. So, right. People won't feel that going into the season that we're on one accord, that you have been thinking about it. You want to be here. You want to play. So, yeah, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but those little things are important. Those little things are important.
And, Mike, we talk about the little things. Here we go again. Can we get a break in that second thing? Now, you know, we get Trayvon Diggs. Diggs is not healthy at where we want him at. And then we get Bland that's now IR. And he'll be gone for four games. So now, hey, that puts the pressure on Al to go ahead now and start grooming another replacement that we need to have in that secondary, because that back end is very important to helping that front end when it comes to the position of playing defense. You need that secondary and you need that D line, but our secondary is seem like it's taken another hit with Bland being out and on IR. How do you see assigning any other or going after some other corners?
Well, first of all, I want to say I appreciate you putting that thing in there the right way. You know, a lot of people in this business would have come in and say, you know, you lose the DBs, you had, you guys, you're Dan Quinn, and now Mike Zim. They would have put it on that. But DBs,
yes.
The thing has really been about Al Harris.
Correct.
And I'm worried about what's going on in the defensive backfield. But I'm happy that you say it the way you said it, or that it is the way it is, that it says we're losing them for a few weeks. The other part, the end of that is we will be getting it back in a few weeks. If you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
The dream one did, we were not getting back. And I guarantee you, let me tell you something. I love Mike Zimmer. He's a great coach. I think Dan Quinn did a hell of a job. But if I ain't got faith in Nushing, if I don't have faith in Nushing, I got faith in our Harris in the show.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
You know, I know.
Al Harris, we're going to be talking about somebody. Like, man, where did Duke came from? We're going to be talking about somebody else, I guarantee you. He's going to bring him along just like that.
And that's, like I said, I had our pleasure to train half for 14 years of his NFL career and watch him come through what he called when he went to Tampa, and Tampa told him that he wasn't what they wanted as a player. And I could tell him, because one team told you that you wasn't, that'll mean you is. So we went to work and his career took off to no end. Mike, man, I know you're busy. Thank you for taking your time out. I know you're in your travel. This is football season kickoff for you. But Mike, before we let you go, give me the prediction tonight on Colorado and San Diego's and South Dakota State.
Well, you know what's going to happen tonight. Now, Deion, I think, is one of the best to get, especially that early game, that first game. I wanted to get down for this game, man. I should have gotten down to Colorado. Should have gotten down there for this game. But honestly, I was like, I got to wait till I see a Miami game. I don't want everybody seeing when they see them.
You know what they're going to say?
Oh, God.
Listen, Mike,
they
get
mad, man.
I got to deal with that in November. I got to deal with that in November. I'm in the same position that Keyshawn is in. You remember when we went and USC was playing and Keyshawn was like, man.
Yeah.
In November, because they moved to the Big 12 conference, we played him in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, man, I see what Keyshawn feels like, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, because you love them both, and that's all good. But Miami ain't even playing Colorado. I don't know why they're messing with me. Miami ain't playing. I'm just up there to support my boy. You know what I mean?
Listen.
Hey, one of my best friends. One of my best friends, man. I love the dude. You know, I show up and support. That's just the reality. But people are crazy. But I think, Deion, this is an opportunity, Deion, to show something. The most important part of all we're about to see, and this is the scary part for everybody looking, is they're wondering what kind of time Shedeur Sanders is going to have. Oh, he got sacked more than anybody last year. Anybody. And we had that young man on the show, one of the big offensive linemen that they signed, and he said, I guarantee you, that will never happen again. He said it such leadership. I thought, wow, I can't wait to see what unit he puts on the field this year with that kid right there. So it's going to be great.
And then, like I said, he has Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp is working on that. Been loving what he's doing, watching his clips, and he's enjoying himself. So that D-line should be ready to go. You know, Sapp going to make sure that they're ready to go, that they're hungry, that they're well taught. So this thing is going to play out well. Like I say, we're watching. I'm getting ready to get off the air now. Thank you, man, for taking your time out your busy day to join the show. It's been a great run. Our Cowboys got to be ready to make the run to make our fan base understand that, hey, yes, this thing takes time. It ain't about money. It's about time and patience. And we got to be able to have patience because, you know, these fans in South Florida try to kill us. But it is what it is, man. But enjoy your travels. Thank you for taking your time out today to join the show. We'll be looking for you throughout the season to join the show, man. Thank you for coming on.
All right, buddy. Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Love you, man.
Love you too, man. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show another week. Listen, it's been, you got a chance to hear playmaker Michael Irvin himself talk about the state of the Dallas Cowboys and what is taking place with the Dallas Cowboys. And understand, it's not about money. We're going to get money to you, but we got to make sure that you are ready to go, that everything about us is a win. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show another week. Thank you for going to the show. We're going to bring you good guests each and every week. And guess what? My podcast coming on Monday? Oh, my goodness. When you talk about NIL, I'm going to give you NIL for real. My interview I have that's coming up is going to blow everybody out the water. He's coming on, interviewing with me. This is going to be at a private location. But guess what? When I bring this interview to you, oh, man, we're going viral. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. It's been real and it's been fun. We'll see you next Thursday. Let's kick off the season. Colorado, let's go. Jayhawks, let's win. It is over. Deuce.